I appreciate you hanging out with us. I actually just had this revelation, and sometimes I say something during the show, and then I all of a sudden have this light bulb go on. Oh, light bulbs are bad topics right now. But I have this light bulb go on in my mind, and I realize I said something that it came out because I was thinking about one thing and talking about something else, and I did not mean it and have to correct it. So I believe what I said is that Oakland and San Francisco are separated by a river, which obviously is not true. It's the Bay, so please forgive me. Duh. The Bay Area, where we have... hundreds of thousands of listeners and where we have millions of sports fans that we want to appeal to. So that was dumb of me. I was thinking about one thing and talking about something else, which is pretty much the case for all 4 hours here on the show. But it didn't dawn on me till we were during the break that I said river. So, yup. I am a perfectionist at heart, a perfectionist in nature. And it has been years of having to be okay with never being perfect. It's impossible to be perfect on a live radio show. I tell my students, I tell young people, young broadcasters that I mentor, you have to get away from the idea of perfect. While it may always be your goal, there is no such thing when you're on the air. And really relatable and someone with whom people can connect are better goals than perfection. But for years, I've been a perfectionist. And so I have a hard time with my own mistakes. Kind of like Caitlin Clark, who said on Wednesday night that she is a tough grader. Well, that's me too. I'm much harder on myself than anyone else could ever be on me. Though I have heard it all and seen it all on social media. Of course. We are 3 hours from the weekend at A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I haven't been to the Bay Area since the Super Bowl was there, Super Bowl 50. So it's been quite a while now. Have been to other parts of California since then. Have been to other parts of the Pacific time zone and, of course, the Mountain time zone since then. But haven't gotten back to the Bay Area. I know it's changed a bunch since I was there, but it's crazy to think about the fact that that year, Super Bowl 50, which would have been, what, 2015? 2015?
50 was 15.
Yeah. So that year, it was such a bucket list thing for me to be able to go to Alcatraz. So took a ferry over to Alcatraz. Also, ran the Golden Gate Bridge. I was training for my first half marathon at the time, and it was a dream of mine to be able to run that whole area. And I did. I did a long training run, ran across the Golden Gate Bridge, stopped in the middle, took photos, said to myself over and over, in these winds, don't you dare drop your phone into the bay. So a little bit scared about that. But it was such a moment of triumph for me to be able to run the Golden Gate Bridge. It was awesome. A lot of people will walk or run out, say, maybe the first half mile, and then they'll turn around and go back. It was awesome. So I loved being there, was able to get up and to see some of the smaller redwoods, the younger redwoods, not to the main redwood forest. But I've wanted to go back to do the redwood forest as well as drive Highway 1, and just haven't been able to get back out there yet. But my husband and I, we're big into flying somewhere and then taking a car, just driving all over the place, or doing long, long road trips. We've got a bunch of parks, national parks, and those types of adventures on our bucket list. So hope to get back out there and do that kind of stuff again.
By the way, I'm wrong. It was 15 season. It was 16 Super Bowl.
Yeah, 15 season. I'm sorry. That's what I was saying. The NFL 16. Does it weird because now the regular season doesn't even end at the end of a calendar year. Now a regular season wraps into the next year, but they always call it, like, this season is the 24 season, even though there are a couple of weeks in the new year that are clearly into the year 25, plus the entire playoffs are in 25. But the way they do it is... The Super Bowl after the 24 season and the 24 season, they just start trying to keep it simple. But what they do is they end up confusing people.
And then you'll have the issue of when they eventually get to President's Week, you're going further into February.
Valentine's Day Valentine's Day is now the Super Bowl holiday, which is kind of funny. Yes, it definitely is going to continue to stretch. And I've told you, the NFL is not giving up real estate once they've grabbed it. They continue to gobble up real estate. It's all about urban sprawl. And once they have a property, so to speak, they are not giving it back. They are not the type of people, not the type of partner or opponent that you want in Monopoly. Let me just tell you that. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Glad to have you with us at A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page and our phone number 855-212-4227. Really good to hear from Ryan, who was at the Coliseum in Oakland both Wednesday and Thursday, actually. And my friend who works for the A's, she was there for hours after the Coliseum had emptied out. The media people, the people who work for the team, they were allowed to stay. It sounds like there was a lot of bittersweet emotions, a lot of reflections, a lot of photos that were taken. There were people who were taking mementos, if you will, though that's not what they wanted fans to be doing. It was an emotional final day, and she was still there up until, gosh, I think it was about 10 o'clock Pacific time. She was still there. So about an hour ago, I was still seeing photos and getting text messages from her. So they were allowing people to stay, which is nice. And as much as I love that the fans showed up in droves this last weekend, it's certainly been a tough row to hoe for the team that hasn't had a ton of support. And I'm not blaming the fans. I can understand why. The stadium is not in great shape. It needs help desperately. But also, why would you want to buy tickets for a product that is not built to compete? I mean, if you go back and you look, the A's have routinely been near the bottom when it comes to team payroll, annual payroll, the money that's being spent on the roster. They're routinely toward the bottom of baseball, which means their owner doesn't actually want to spend money on a roster to compete, or at least not as long as it was there in Oakland, which is kind of crappy. And so the fans not wanting to put money in John Fisher's pocket, which we just heard from Ryan in Sacramento, knowing that the move was coming, understanding that it didn't matter what the fans wanted. It was just about what the owners in Major League Baseball wanted. There are a lot of reasons why fans were not enthusiastic to go to the park. But from what we saw and what we heard on Thursday, it was not only an electric atmosphere, but it was the type of atmosphere that A's teams of the past would remember as a playoff atmosphere. Like, for instance, the DH, Brent Rooker, who had a couple of hits. I feel like these are trivia questions, but also how cool is it that you can say you had a couple of hits on the last day of the Oakland Coliseum?
That was a playoff environment. That's what it felt like. But then after the game, obviously, you see, with Kotz's message and the chant and everything else, you see people getting emotional. And, yeah, that hits you hard because I think there's really, really good people here.
So he was referring to Mark Kotze, and we'll get to his full speech, that he took the field and had a microphone, and the fans were still there for, Ryan said, over an hour for him, and just kind of soaking in as much as they could, and they did do that final "Let's go Oakland" chant. The players were all there on the field. A lot of the team employees were as well, kind of soaking it in. How cool for Mason Miller that he gets the final save ever recorded at the Coliseum.
It's probably the coolest moment of my life, baseball-wise. Sorry. It's pitching in front of a home stadium like this. All the emotion, it's impossible to put into words, and all you can do is really harness it and you go compete. That's our task as a player, is to give it 110% for each of these players and each of these fans.
NBC Sports California with that Mason Miller clip. Not only did you have Bruce Bochy there with the Rangers, but also Mark Kotze, who of course played a major role in Oakland's baseball history. And just the emotion for him, he talked about how it really hit him on Wednesday night. He and his wife spent time out in center field. I saw the photos of them walking out there, just trying to take it all in themselves.
You could feel the love for every one of us in this uniform, representing this city of Oakland, and they were grateful.
For us, I mean, we're out there trying to win the game. So, I mean, it was, a good day. I mean, you could see how excited the fans were and all that. you know, we're doing all we could and not really caught up in our emotions. It's more on their side.
Bruce Bochy certainly empathizing with the fans, even though he's back there with the Rangers, but a lot of years for him too. So if you were at the stadium, if you're an A's fan, if just have the Bay Area perspective, I would love to hear from you at A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And we'll have more of the reactions from the Coliseum coming up over the course of this show. But we want to get the After Hours NFL Game of the Week poll ready for you. It's already available on our show Twix at Amy After Hours. And it will soon be available on our Facebook page as well. I swear this time I'm going to follow through. Actually, I did with the touchdown of the week. I just forgot to put up the Monday MVP choices. It got pretty busy here on Sunday night into Monday morning. And then I forgot all about you Facebookers. But you are faithful Facebookers. I will say that. Not only do you answer our questions, you use the link to the podcast that I post there. You take our polls. You react when I share interesting, well, I think they're interesting, when I share reflections on the sports world. You read my blog, you talk about my pictures. So Facebookers, I don't want to neglect you or deny you. I will put the poll up. But we have chosen four candidates for the After Hours Game of the Week poll. Of course, you can always write in with your own options. But we want to look at each of these games as we head through these next 2.5 hours. Vikings-Packers, this is a doozy. Pretty excited about this one. And we do believe that Sam Darnold will be playing. He has indicated that it's a bruise, not anything structural that's wrong with his knee. And so Sam Darnold, who has got an Aaron Jones, very comfortable at Lambeau Field. He's seen and done it all at Lambeau and is planning a Lambeau leap. And no doubt the Vikings will game plan for Aaron Jones early and often to be able to realize that dream of a Lambeau leap in purple. And then we'll see what the fans do with him when he decides to leap into the stands again. I think they have to appreciate him. My money is on Packers fans being thrilled to see him again, as much as it hurts that he's in purple now. But the Packers are in a good spot, right? The Packers may have Jordan Love back this weekend. Not sure yet. He's day to day. And so they'll wait until the last second to make that decision. But this is an early season critical as it can be in the first month. Vikings-Packers clash at Lambeau, and I expect a supercharged atmosphere. Speaking of charged, the Chargers are hosting the Chiefs. That's a nationally televised game coming up on Sunday afternoon. And of course, Kansas City is one of the remaining 3-0 teams, along with the Vikings. They are unbeaten. And the Chargers, they're dealing with a bunch of injuries, but also, at this point, Justin Herbert's doing everything he can to get back to the status, the playing status that will give them a chance to win. Chiefs defense has been flexing its muscles, and it's not quite like a defense that would lock you down, because they do give up yards. Sometimes they give up touchdowns. But what always appeals to me about the Kansas City defense is the bend but don't break mentality. It may take every last drive. It may take every last snap before they come up with a stop. Their stats may not be all that impressive, but man, they know how to rise to the occasion. And so the Chiefs defense on the road in Los Angeles, the Chargers, they need Justin Herbert, not just because he's Justin Herbert, but because so much has changed around him on the offense that he's the glue that holds them together right now. Certainly an extension of what Jim Harbaugh wants to do on the field, but he's been hobbled. Gosh, going back to training camp or preseason with this, it's a very high ankle sprain, and it's kept him limping at times. So that's another one of the options. Bills and Ravens, and I believe this is the Sunday night game, right? Buffalo also 3-0, and so you've got, this is, I mean, I feel like this works really well. You've got, of the five 3-0 teams, four of them involved in the After Hours Game of the Week poll. Bills, just coming off of a demolition derby against the Jacksonville Jaguars. They didn't even really need to play in the second half, but man, the numbers for Josh Allen so far are MVP worthy. I know it's week four, but the Ravens too, getting a big victory last week, able to rush for nearly 275 yards against the Dallas Cowboys. That was on the road. Remember, Baltimore dropped its first game at home, and that was against the Raiders. Weird, just weird. The Raiders rally from 10 points down to come back in Baltimore and snag a win, but then they fall to the Panthers at their home stadium, at Allegiant Stadium. Something's wrong with you. Like, seriously wrong with you when you do that. But again, that's early season football. So the Bills at the Ravens, who would like to protect their home field. That's a Sunday night. My niece lives a couple blocks from, is it M&T Bank? Is that the name of the Baltimore Stadium? M&T Bank Stadium. And her first experience with a home game was, of course, a couple weeks ago. And she was just talking about how crazy it was around her and how people were showing up early in the morning to park and then to tailgate. And now I'm thinking about how it's a night game and the streets will be teeming with people. So I hope she's not trying to get to bed early on a Sunday night. Bills and Ravens is your Sunday night game. And then the 3-0 Seahawks at the Lions. Detroit coming off that victory over the Cardinals in Arizona. But remember, they dropped their last game at home to Tampa Bay. This is such a tangled web early in this first month. So we'd love you to vote for the game of the week at Amy After Hours. I also shared at A-Law Radio, and we'll put that up on our Facebook page as soon as possible. You've got teams that are desperate for a win as well. The Cowboys got one on Thursday night, so we'll get to some of their reaction straight ahead. But think about the Dolphins, and it could get away from them very quickly. Mike McDonald is not interested yet in naming a quarterback, so at this point, we don't know if Skylar Thompson is healthy enough to start. We don't know if it will be Tim Boyle, if they'll use Tyler Huntley. Tua, by the way, is not retiring. He has made that very clear. It's been reinforced again this week. He says he feels good. He's working with a neurologist. He is headed in the right direction. It's kind of a vague way to say that he's feeling better. He cannot play until after his IR stint is done, but he's told the Dolphins his intent is to play, and so for that reason, they're working toward getting him healthy again and getting him cleared, regardless of what anyone else might say in the fraternity or in the outside of that, in among fans, just casual observers. But I would say the Dolphins, if they want to keep pace with the Bills and Jets, they're in need of a win. How about the Bengals? Also desperately in need of a win. Only a handful of 0-3 teams have ever come back to make the playoffs. Let's see. The Jaguars are in desperate need of a win, but I would say more than the Jaguars, Doug Peterson is in desperate need of a win. There are a lot of people that are starting to whisper about whether or not he will keep his job if they don't find some positive vibes really quickly. And who else is in need of a win? Let's look in the NFC. Well, the Bears could use a win, or they're going to fall behind real quickly there in the North. In the South, the Falcons also are harboring designs on being a playoff team, and not just a playoff team, but having a veteran quarterback and believing that they can compete potentially for a Super Bowl this year, that their window is very much wide open. The Niners, they also could really use a win. They are expecting to have George Kittle. I did also hear that Debo Samuel practiced this week, but he's on IR, so he's not available to play. But they think they might be a little healthier. All right, so just scratching the surface, week four of the NFL season. You can take that poll again at A-Law Radio and then on our Facebook page, 2-855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Let's get to some of the Cowboys' reaction from Wednesday night. Nope, there's no such thing as Wednesday night football, but give it time. There will be Wednesday night football. I suppose Christmas this year would qualify as Wednesday night football. We'll get to some of the reaction from Thursday night football, the Cowboys getting a victory. And also, we got to get back to baseball and what we now know about the postseason on the horizon starting next Tuesday. Do you know that Tuesday is October 1st? That's wow. Seriously, my reaction is just that. It's wow. Next Tuesday, October 1st, is when the postseason begins. Goodness. Trying to think of, oh, you know what else is on October 1st? Isn't there a debate on October 1st? That's why that date is sticking in my mind. I wonder what wins out, the vice presidential debate or the early stages of the wild card rounds?
I would hope the wild card rounds.
I don't know about that. It's fairly hotly contested.
Yes.
You know that all news networks see major spikes in ratings and viewership during an election cycle.
Of course, especially with these candidates.
And it's no different this year. At A-Law Radio again, also on our Facebook page. Glad to have you with us as we hurdle our way into a fantastic Friday. It's After Hours on the Infinity Sports Network.
Lamb is in a slot on the right this time. Snap to Prescott, looks right, now goes screen left. Dowdle with a block to the 10, to the 5. He's into the end zone, touchdown. But hold on, we're going to get a flag, and Tyler Smith has his arms spread out wide.
Guess what that means. For a block in the back.
You know, I think as soon as the Cowboys offense...
There is no foul on the play. The result of the play is a touchdown.
Oh, wow. That's anticlimactic.
Well, I wish we could have heard the very beginning of that call, but...
No, that was
fine.
It. He just said there is no foul on the play.
So that is a touchdown.
That's anticlimactic, isn't it?
Screen to Rico Dowdle of 15 yards. It's the Miller Lite first touchdown of the game. From the 45, first down. Shotgun. Good blitz pickup. And Prescott down the left side. Lamb broke the tackle. 35, outruns three men into the end zone. Touchdown, CeeDee Lamb.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
If you were watching the CeeDee Lamb touchdown, you know that right after that, he got a flag for taunting, throwing the ball at an opponent. And I don't love the flag. I really don't. But as much as we may think it's pathetic to throw a flag for taunting because a guy kind of chucked the ball in his opponent's direction, that is the rule. It's a pretty clear case under the taunting definition. Again, I don't think it's necessary. It's a professional football game. And I feel like sometimes the NFL is trying way too hard to control what these guys are doing. At the same time, CeeDee and everyone else knows that that's a no-no, if you will. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, the voice of Brad Sham, Babe Laufenberg in there as well, Cowboys Radio Network. And the only two touchdowns of Thursday Night Football were in the first half, both scored by the Cowboys. So they were able to get one in the first quarter, one in the second quarter. And Dak Prescott had a strong game, 22 of 27. He was over 220 yards passing, had the couple of touchdowns as well as just the one sack. No turnovers, and he was at a passer rating of 125.5. So it was a good performance by the Cowboys offense coming off of a shorter work week. They had 80 yards rushing. I know they want to get more from their run game. That's what Mike McCarthy has indicated. His priority, he said, was to get more from the run game. And maybe they didn't get as much as they wanted to, but a win is a win is a win is a win.
Winning is always a great thing, especially on the road. Road wins are the best. Division games, you can add another layer to it. So, yeah, we feel great about what we accomplished tonight. But I think it's, you know, for the fourth week in a row, we realize that we have a lot of work to do.
So they end up getting a couple of field goals in the second half, but they also had a missed field goal. And it's significant just because Brandon Aubrey has been hitting from 60 yards in with regularity. It seems like he's been automatic, but with 32 seconds to go, he misses what was deemed a 51-yard field goal. And so then the defense had to go out and make a play, which it did, coming away with an interception off Daniel Jones. It was tipped a couple times, right? And it was more of a Hail Mary type of a situation, but they were able to come away with the takeaway. And so, yeah, it's just odd to see Brandon Aubrey miss a field goal.
Yeah, he's special. He's a great talent. I think that one was too short for him. You know, he just wanted to, you know, give it a little bit of cinematic end right there. But he's a special, special guy. Every great quarterback has a really, really good kicker. Look at the history of it. So blessed to have him. He can make it from anywhere. I'm going to call that one a fluke.
That was the voice of Dak Prescott on NFL Prime. You know, CeeDee Lamb took responsibility in part and said, it's on me. I'm part of the problem. I want to be part of the solution. He also mentioned that everybody spoke up this week in the Cowboys locker room, that they were all airing their grievances, if you will. But as grown men coming together, saying that we need to take accountability and responsibility, and then able to come away with the victory.
We got to play with our chip on our shoulder. We can't really get too content with who we are and who we have on this roster. Obviously, you look from top to bottom, we could go toe-to-toe with anybody. But staying positive, again, staying true to who we are, making our right plays, being what we got to be, and then this will be the result.
Also, something else that stood out to me is that the defense did not give up a ton of yardage to the Giants. Now, you can say what you will about the Giants. They don't have a lively run game, but to hold them to just 25 yards rushing, especially in what was primarily a one-score game for the most part. I mean, there were opportunities the Giants had. They didn't capitalize. They settled for 5 field goals and couldn't get into the end zone. But the fact that the Cowboys did better on defense, were able to contain on defense, and yes, you can point to the Giants' drops, but hey, there's traffic in the area. The defense is doing its part. They have a couple of, well, they had one takeaway that a forced fumble in there that was recovered by the Giants, and they're able to limit what their opponent is doing, and to do that on the road and to do it in a division is a huge deal. So yeah, you could say that the defense stepped up.
I thought those guys just really stepped up, played a lot of guys on defense, rotating through. But, yeah, I mean, you need wins, I guess, division wins on the road. So we overcame a lot. It's a good one to get.
Thank you, Mike. I'm sorry. I don't know who the first guy was. Oh, Pete's in there working magic with his fingers on the soundboard, and I'm getting confused. But we're good. Everything's fine. It's just fine. Nod and smile. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. As for Daniel Jones, he played well. He really did. There were a handful of drop passes that I'm sure were frustrating to all of the Giants. For him, though, he just desperately wanted to get into the end zone.
We're expected to score touchdowns and put points on the board. And in a game that I felt like we were able to do a lot and move the ball well and execute a lot of stuff well, we didn't execute the red zone stuff.
It's got to be a letdown, though, when you go to Cleveland and you're able to play as well as you did in the first half offensively, and then the defense dominates against that Browns offense and against the dog pound. But then to get back home, I know it was a short work week, and really not be able to do anything against a Cowboys defense that's been relatively porous. And early on, they were giving up a lot of chunk plays, a lot. They were giving up a few chunk plays. The receivers, like Malik Nabers, was finding room. Even Darius Slayton, though he did have a couple of the more egregious drops, they were able to find open spots in the second level of the defense and just couldn't seem to make the plays. Game is re-airing again, actually, on NFL Network. So if you missed it on Prime, I tell you this all the time, you can watch it over and over and over again this weekend, because Thursday Night Football re-airs on NFL Network multiple times before we get to Sunday. What is the week 4 game of the week? You can find the poll up on Twix at Amy After Hours. Lively and spirited voting already. And of course, you can also find it on our Facebook page. I say of course because, boom, it's now posted on our Facebook page. Coming up, I want to do coming up. We will get into some of the previews, but I want to make sure that we go back and forth between football and baseball. And also, I've got the news up now watching the path of Helene and some of the damage and destruction. She is now a Category 1 hurricane and is over Georgia, but her rain path is covering almost covering almost the entire state of Georgia. And there are 5 different states that now have been declared states of emergency. So it's a devastating storm with a lot of rain, a lot of wind. And the last I knew, 1.5 million customers without power, which is also frightening. couple of deaths that I've seen so far. The last I saw was two, but I know there are people that will be stranded and can't get rescued and are dealing with flooding. There's flooding in Atlanta right now, the Sandy Springs area of Georgia. They're under evacuation orders. Just a lot still to come with this storm because of how big she is. So we'll do what we can to keep you posted and definitely want to hear from you. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Peter Schwartz.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
Let's begin with Thursday night football.
From the 45, first down, shotgun, good blitz pickup, and Prescott down the left side. Lamb broke the tackle. 35, outruns three men into the end zone. Touchdown, CeeDee Lamb.
Brad Chem on Cowboys Radio. The Cowboys beat the Giants 20-15. Dak Prescott, 221 yards and two touchdowns, won the CeeDee Lamb, who had seven catches for 98 yards. Micah Parsons left the game in the fourth quarter with an ankle injury. He's set for an MRI on Friday. Now to baseball, and we start in Oakland and the end of an era.
Now the 1-2 pitch. Here it is by Mason. He turns, he's ready, he throws, and it's swung on and hit to third. He was left up with it. Schumann, he turns, he throws, and the A's have won it. Mason Miller slams the door on the Rangers as the curtain comes down on 57 incredible years of A's baseball at the Coliseum.
Ken Korak on A's Radio. The A's beat the Rangers 3-2, final game in the Coliseum in front of 46,889. Elsewhere, Dodgers over the Padres 7-2. In 13, the Marlins beat the Twins 8-6. Yankees clinched the AL East, beat the Orioles 10-1. Aaron Judge hit his 58th home run. Rockies beat the Cardinals 10-8. White Sox over the Angels 7-0. The Tigers win a fifth in a row. They beat the Rays 4-3. The Royals beat the Nationals 7-4. The Brewers top the Pirates 5-2. A judge in the Dominican Republic ruled that Rays shortstop Wander Franco must stand trial on charges that he sexually abused a minor. Former NBA MVP Derrick Rose announced his retirement. College football, it was Army over Temple 42-14. Golf, the USA sweeps all five matches Thursday at the opening session of the President's Cup. I'm Peter Schwartz.
The Infinity Sports Network is on your smart speaker. All you have to say is, play Infinity Sports Network. That's it. Play Infinity Sports Network.
The 1-0. Otani on the ground. Right side and through. It gets by the diving Arise. Kike comes home. The Dodgers have the lead. The throw gets away, but Páez holds on third. Otani takes second for a second straight night. A third straight time, Otani delivers the go-ahead run. Nothing in two, the count on the number nine hitter, Higashioka. The pitch from Kopech. Poked beyond the infield. Shallow right field. Taylor calling for it. And still... National League West, division champions, the Los Angeles Dodgers, do it again in 2024. For the 11th time in 12 years, they wear the crown.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The Dodgers held off quite a charge from both the Padres and the Arizona Diamondbacks, who are still in line for a playoff spot themselves. The calls there on the Dodgers radio network, and man, what an atmosphere at Dodger Stadium, where it takes until game 159 for them to lock up the National League West. But as you hear on the call, 11th time in 12 years. But here's what's unique about it. First time for Shohei Ohtani. And first time for a couple of the other members of the Dodgers. I know the core has been there, but not all of them. And for Ohtani, who is now closer to 10 years in the league than his first year in the league, he has been around a long time, and this will be the first October in which we get to see him on this stage. So I'm really looking forward to that. That's what makes this Dodgers team unique. You may be tired of the Dodgers, and I get that. I think there's a lot of We call it hate, but really sports hate is jealousy or just fatigue at hearing about a team over and over again. And the Dodgers may be the butt of your jokes if you happen to be a fan of another NL West team like the Giants, like the Padres, because, yeah, they've got just the one World Series win since 1988, and that's with the, you know, the 2020 season. And so I know that they've had a lot of missed opportunities. They've spent a lot of money on their payroll and haven't been able to get it done. And this year's no exception. Think about the $1 billion they spent on just three players in the last offseason. Otani, now a lot of his money is deferred, but he is supposed to make $700 million-plus over the course of the deal that he signed with the Dodgers. And for him, what he really wanted was to play in the postseason, and now he'll finally get the opportunity. So the Dodgers, not only do they end up winning that division, but right now they're a game up on the Phillies for best record in the National League, which would mean they'd have the home field advantage should they get to the NLCS. So as long as they were in the playoffs, they would have the home field. Dave Roberts certainly didn't seem as though he was treating this like it was ho-hum and, man, we've been here, done that.
They all feel sweet, but I'll tell you, man, with what we've gone through this year, this feels a tick sweeter, and I'm just so proud of these guys, the way that we fought through adversity, stuck together, and found a way to win this division again, and it was hard fought. We earned it, and today sort of epitomized our season, you know, just kind of battling from behind, fighting, scratching, clawing, and willing ourselves to victory.
I say it every year. You just never know when you're going to get to celebrate with a group of guys, regardless if you've been a huge contributor or, like myself, barely been a part of it. So I enjoy it no matter what. I know it's hard to do, and I know that it's just a special thing to do, and I know someday it's going to end. So I try to enjoy it no matter how much of an impact I've made on the team. And this is a great group of guys, and they showed a lot of fight this series. You know, we could have been down and out after that first one, and for them to do what they did the last two games and win it here at home has been awesome. And so looking forward to the rest of the postseason.
Remember, the first one that Clayton Kershaw is referring to is the one in which the Padres locked up their playoff berth. As it turns out, it will be a wild card, but they lock up their spot in October with the triple play. First time a team's ever had a walk-off triple play to seal a playoff spot. And so that was, I think, disheartening for the Dodgers. But in the last two games, they've come from behind to beat San Diego. And I will say what I've said about the Dodgers all year long. This is good for them. It's not good for them to have a 20-game lead in their division in August and be locking up a playoff spot before the final month of the regular season rolls around. That's not good for them. This is good for them to be pushed, to feel that urgency, that intensity, as Dave Roberts calls it on the field on Sportsnet LA, that character that we saw from the Dodgers in taking the best shot from the Diamondbacks and the Padres, getting pushed to the brink when it came to the division title, and pushing back, standing up and protecting what they felt like was rightfully theirs and pushing back. And so I think this behooves the Dodgers to kind of remember this, fighting, scratching, clawing. Sure, the experience of being in the postseason will help them, but I think it's better that they've been in playoff mode. And they've had that adrenaline, they've had that energy for now months, because they've been locked in a battle for this division going back since the All-Star break. Why? Because the Padres have the best record, or one of the best. It may not be the best now, but it's pretty damn close. Where they were 41 and 19, I believe, since the All-Star break, if I've got my numbers correct. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So again, congratulations to the Dodgers and Dave Roberts. Man, what a tenure he has built with the Dodgers. He's been there forever. He's a former World Series champion himself, going back to his days when he was with the Red Sox as a role player, a runner, a pinch runner, a guy who could steal bases, for those of you who remember 04. Now, the other division that was still up for grabs, the American League East, and it took a few extra days between the Yankees and the Orioles.
You know, a lot of hard work.
1-0. Swung on, hit high in the air to left.
Back goes Couser. He's on the track at the wall, and she is gone. Judge hit an unbelievably high drive. We waited, and it came down in the visitors' bullpen. A Judgian blast. All rise. Here comes the judge.
Here is the 1-1. Ground ball to short. Volpe fields, throws to first in time. Ball game over. American League Eastern Division over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
Well, that's John Sterling, the familiar voice of John Sterling. I didn't realize until this week that he was back not just for the playoffs. We knew that the Yankees, this was not him inserting himself back into the conversation. The Yankees had requested, I even heard, begged John Sterling to come back for the postseason just one more time before they have a new voice. And there's all kinds of rumors and reports out there about who their next voice might be. One that's been widely reported is Dave Sims, who's been with the Seattle Mariners for years. Anyway, the Yankees asked him to come back for the playoffs, but also for these final couple games of the regular season as the Yankees were trying to hold off the Orioles for that AL East title. They do end up winning the East. Aaron Judge is now homered in 5 straight games, and so he has got 58 home runs. It wasn't that long ago he was stuck on 51, and it felt like 60 was out of reach. Well, now 60 is back in play, and it would be the second time in 3 years that he would be at 60-plus home runs. Gerrit Cole is pitching a lot better. Giancarlo Stanton had 4 RBI. So it seems like the Yankees are back in a groove, playing more like they did to start the year. But now, of course, it's paramount because the American League could be a doozy when it comes to the postseason. As for the Yankees, they've gone through not just hitting slumps, they've had issues with their pitching rotation and still do have some questions to answer about their pitching rotation, but they lost the lead atop the American League East, and they were seeing a real strong push and a battle with Baltimore until these last couple weeks when they were able to put some distance between them and the Orioles. So yeah, got to feel good because it was a long time coming.
Just really proud of this group. We've faced a ton so far this year. They've answered at every turn, and you know, we set out to win a division when we started this thing. So it's another check in another box. But obviously, we got more to go.
You know, a lot of hard work all the way from the offseason till now. It's a lot of long hours in the cages, long hours all of us kind of talking, getting together, but. And when it comes down to it, we got a lot of guys in here that want to win and kind of check their ego at the door, and I think that's what led us to this point.
Aaron Boone and Aaron Judge as the Yankees wrap up the only other division title that was available, the American League East. We know that the Royals and the Tigers and the White Sox all won in the American League Central. So those storylines keeping the first two alive for playoffs, keeping the White Sox from setting the all-time record for losses in a season. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You're in a 5-minute break.